You might be interested in knowing that Alan Judd, who read our scripture tonight, was born and reared in a few miles of where I was, and is now going back to Jackson County and preaching in some of the congregations there. In fact, the congregation where he spoke this morning is one of the churches where I spoke once a month when I was in high school, and that was well before he discovered America. But it's interesting how things go around and come back around, and it's young men like this, that many of them that are here at Fried Hardeman, who are preaching God's Word even while they're here and preparing to preach the Word of God, and we need to thank God regularly for all of these and encourage them in every way that we can. There is basically one problem in life, and there is basically one solution. The problem is sin. The solution is Christ. Christ is the answer to sin in every sense of the word. Every problem that we have in this world today can be traced in some way or another to the sin problem. Sin came upon the scene in the Garden of Eden, and ever since that time we've had problems. We continue to have problems in the world, and if it were not for Christ, we would really have a problem. In the book of Hebrews, going back just a few verses before where Alan read a few minutes ago, the 9th chapter and verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." In the 10th chapter at verse 4, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." Now, you just think from a logical standpoint for a minute what's said. Number one, there has to be the shedding of blood in order for there to be remission. But number two, the blood of animals is not powerful enough to take care of the sin problem. And so that's why it is so important that we understand what's said there in verses 9 and 10. "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And then verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." There is one problem in the world today, and that's sin. There is one answer to that problem, and that's Christ. If you just stop and think for a moment, if we do not turn to Christ where the only answer is, we're still in the problem, and we still have the problem. I want to approach the lesson tonight from the standpoint of emphasizing five things that are associated with the fact that Christ is the answer to sin. First, Christ is the answer to the burden of sin. You know, if we just made one mistake each day, and I would doubt that there's one of us here who is not guilty of at least that many, that'd be 365 during a year. Multiply that by the number of years that you've lived since the age of accountability, and think about all of the sins that you would try to be carrying if you could not receive the remission of sins. Think about what a burden that would be. Sometimes we think that some things are light. I remember having the question asked when I was younger, if you had all the feathers in the world that you could you carry one more? The answer to that is no. Because if you had all you could carry one more. If you could carry one more, you didn't have all you could carry. But even a feather, as light as it is, there comes a point that you couldn't add one more. And sin would come to that point that it would be so hard for us to carry the burden of sin. I think that David in the Psalms, in Psalms 38, verse 4, hit the nail on the head when he said, "Mine iniquities have gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Mine iniquities have gone over my head." I remember down through the years, we'd be talking about somebody who had a very serious problem, or maybe he'd gotten into some kind of meanness or some kind of problem, and somebody would say, "He's in that over his head." They meant by that he'd gone too far. And that's exactly where we would be tonight with the burden of sin if we were trying to carry all our sins ourselves without any help. But the thing about it is that we do have help. Remember in John 1:29 where it says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Have you ever been carrying something and you were just about to fall and somebody came along and lifted it out of your hand and you did not have that burden anymore? And sometimes we've had the experience with an emotional burden or a spiritual burden or a mental burden. And it's just almost more than we can bear. Sometimes waiting for a report from a test that's been taken by the doctor is one of the heaviest burdens. The biggest problem, I think one of the biggest problems at least, that I have in life is the fear of the unknown. When you don't know what you're dealing with, you're waiting and there's a burden there. And then maybe all of a sudden you get a call and somebody says everything's okay. All the tests came back and everything's all right. And that burden is lifted. Well, that's the way it is with Jesus Christ being the answer for sin. We have the burden of sin and we would be carrying that burden by ourselves. But in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1:7. His blood is said to cover all our sins and to forgive us of all our sins. Cleanse us from all our sins, 1 John 1 and verse 7. And so in the first place tonight, we need to realize that the blood of Jesus Christ is the answer to sin in that it removes that burden. But in the second place, Christ is the answer to sin in that He can remove the guilt of sin. Guilt is one of the heaviest burdens that anybody can carry. We tend to go to one of two extremes with guilt. There are those who are like a statement both in Jeremiah chapter 6 and Jeremiah chapter 8 where the people were described as being those who could not blush. And I believe there are people today who seemingly cannot feel any guilt. It just seems to me that anybody who could abuse a little baby, like we hear of some of these who will stick a lit cigarette to a little baby or break their bones or something like that, it seems to me that's got to be a person who doesn't have much of a conscience, if any. Conscience, like it's described in Romans 2:12, that either accuses or excuses us. And it appears to me that some of these serial killers that we hear about must be people whose conscience are at least seared as with a hot iron, as talked about in the New Testament. But then we go to the other point, and there are those who take guilt so far that it becomes a burden, even to the point of somebody like Judas taking his own life. He couldn't deal with the guilt. And we have so many people today who literally will take their own lives because they cannot handle the guilt. They are conscientious and they see what's happening and they feel guilty about what is being done. And to one of those extremes most of us go, and it's this latter one that we're dealing with. I think here's where most of us have our problem. I think most of us, maybe all of us that are here tonight, can feel guilt. I would hope at least that we still have the ability to blush. And yes, there are some things that ought to cause us to blush. But then when we feel that guilt, if we don't do something about it, what's going to happen? It's going to go back to this idea of the burden. It's going to just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and none of us is big enough to handle that by Himself. Christ becomes the answer for that guilt. He becomes the one who takes our sins and carries them for us, having really already carried them for us when He went to the cross. He's somewhat like that scapegoat of the Old Testament, where they would, in a sense, put their sins on the goat and send Him out in the wilderness to take their sins away. That's a figure, at least, of what Christ does for us today. You know, we talk a lot about people having bad memories. And the older we get, the more we realize that is true. But I believe one of our biggest problems is we have a bad forgettery. And you won't find that word in Webster. In fact, I'm not even for sure I know how to spell it. But what I mean by that is we have a bad time learning to forget. We do this in our association with each other. God says when He forgives, He doesn't remember sin anymore. Hebrews chapter 8 and also chapter 10. Do you know what happens with us if we're not careful? We make a little note somewhere there. One person came to a preacher and said, "Here's a sin I've committed. I want you to pray for forgiveness." A week later, the same person came back and said, "I want you to pray for forgiveness." He said, "What's the problem?" mentioned exactly the same sin. The preacher said, why should I pray for it? We prayed for it last week, and you haven't forgiven yourself. And many times it is harder for us to forgive ourselves than it is for God to forgive us. Don't forget that. I think sometimes we are harder on ourselves than God is on us. Now, God's heart against sin, it separates between us and God, and God will not allow sin into heaven. He's against sin, but he wants to forgive us when we repent and when we obey, and yet sometimes when we obey, we don't forgive ourselves. Christ is the answer to the guilt of sin. Well, if I went back and remembered all the things I've done wrong, and I don't think I've done as many wrongs as most people have. I've been preaching since I was 13. That's not insurance, but just a statement. But anyway, if I went back and lived and listed all the mistakes that I have made, especially with my tongue down through the years, and remembered all of those and continue to feel guilty about all of them, I wouldn't have time to think about doing the Lord's work today. But I don't have to feel guilty for those mistakes that I've made if I've made them right in the sight of God and he's forgiven. Christ takes away the guilt of sin. Number three, Christ is the answer for the power of sin. The Bible teaches us that it is possible for us to get to the point that sin has so much power on us that it controls all of our lives. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 18 and 19, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, sin just sort of becomes the power in their lives. That's what they look for and that's what they do. In Philippians 3 verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We can become so involved in sin that it has a power over. We become addicted to certain things and it seems difficult to control it. Where's the answer? The answer is again in Christ. Because he tells us that he will help us to overcome anything. That he will help us to stand against anything. I like that statement that Paul makes again to the Philippians, just a few verses from what I read a few minutes ago, chapter 4, verse 13, when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What's that saying? With Christ, I've got the power over sin. There are a lot of temptations that you and I might yield to if we did not have Christ to help us. There may be some temptations that will come up this week that we might like to do if we just looked at the fleshly part of the human being. But when we stop and think that we are Christians, we have Christ with us, we can be strong enough to say no to whatever that temptation is and whatever that power is that is there with sin. Sin can take us away, but when we're crucified with Christ and live with him and he lives with us, we have the power to overcome that sin. That statement in 1 John 3:9 that is sometimes abused and taken out of context says that he that is born of God doth not sin. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, but it means that we're not in the habit of sinning, because when we're really born of God and we're living for Christ, we have his help to help us overcome the power of sin. Christ is the answer to the burden of sin. He is the answer to the guilt of sin. And he is the answer to the power of sin. In the fourth place, he's the answer to the penalty of sin. You know where you and I deserve to go for an eternity? We deserve to be lost. If we put it on the idea of what we deserve. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. None of those things that are sinful, like making a lie or anything like that, is going to enter in through the pearly gates of heaven, Revelation 21:27. We left God. God didn't leave us. Therefore, he really doesn't owe us anything. We deserve. If you want to know what we deserve to be lost eternally, and that's the penalty of sin. The terribleness of hell is the last part of the penalty of sin. That's the final part of it. And that's exactly where you and I, if we just base it upon ourselves, deserve to go. But I don't have to go there. Because Christ frees us from the penalty of sin. He became sin for us. Death is passed unto all men because all of us sin. And all of that came about because of that initial sin in Eden. Not that we inherit it, but that we're born into the environment where it is, and in our human weakness we become partakers of it, and therefore deserve the penalty of it. But I don't have to face that penalty because of Jesus Christ. He is the answer to the penalty of sin. And then in the fifth place, Jesus is the answer to the presence of sin. You and I have never known what it was to be away from the presence of sin. We have been blessed. I mentioned where Alan and I grew up. The church is extremely strong in that area. Over half the members of my high school class were Christians. There are few places on earth that have the environment that Henderson, Tennessee has. We're not as tempted to sin as we are here, and yet we live in the presence of sin. You don't have to go far until you see it. You don't even have to go outside your house. Just turn your television set on or open your windows and listen to some of your neighbors. We don't have to go far till we see the very presence of sin. There is hardly a day that passes because of my specific work that I'm not associated with somebody who's weeping. Now, the other side of it is I'm also associated with those who are laughing. But even as Christians and even in your family, every day we see the presence of sin. We don't have to have that in the eternity. Because Revelation 21 describes a place where there's no heartaches and no problems and no tears. Even God himself shall wipe away every tear from their eye. You won't even have to cover your back to see if there's somebody coming up that might harm you. Everything will be blessings in the presence of God. There won't be any such thing as sin in heaven. It won't be there. And those of us that are in Christ and hold on to Christ can go there, not because we deserve it, but because he made it possible for us through him to have the remission of our sins and to have that promise of heaven. One of these days, when this life is over, if we will hold on to Jesus Christ, we'll have the opportunity to walk on that street of gold, to be among the people of God. Not just when we come together in a few services during the week, but all the time, and be in the presence of God and his angels for an eternity, there won't be any sin present. Oh, what a wonderful thing it would be today if we could hear that there'd been a cure discovered for cancer and we wouldn't have it anymore. I remember when I was very young that one of the dreaded diseases was tuberculosis. We almost don't have it anymore. I remember when I was much younger, the problem with polio. It's almost been eradicated. You just think about the wonderful results there are with things like that. And then think about what it will be like to be away from sin for an eternity. Christ is the complete answer to sin. There's one problem, sin. There's one answer, one solution, Christ. He is the answer to the burden of sin. He is the answer to the guilt of sin. He is the answer to the power of sin. He is the answer to the penalty of sin. He is the answer to the presence of sin. But now, if he's the only answer and you're not in him, you still have the problem. Because you see, if you've not been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and you're a sinner, you're still a sinner. If you've been baptized into Christ and you haven't lived like you should, you've gone back into the world, you've still got the problem, which is described by Peter as even being worse than the first. But you don't have to stay there. You see, one thing that you may have overlooked in that passage that was read for our text, by the which will he was sanctified through the offer, or we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that A-L-L includes you and me. But it's only those who come to Christ who have that promise. The problem is sin. The solution is Christ. Are you in the problem or in the solution? That's the big question. If you're not in the solution, Christ, you need to come to him as together we stand and sing.
Gently, gently to his fold. See him soul and open, I implore. Why keep Jesus waiting, waiting at the door? Oft he knocketh softly, softly o'er and o'er. Hear him soul and open, I implore. Why keep Jesus waiting, knocking at the door? Soon he'll cease his pleading, yes, forevermore. Come, poor soul, obey him, I implore.
Be seated, please. Number 579, same opening, sing one verse of that.